From the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Our scripture this evening is from what is referred to as Jesus' farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. This is Jesus' last teaching to the disciples right before his death, and he seems to know that his time is drawing to the end. Because of this, he's trying to get in a lot of important stuff, and so he kind of just keeps talking and talking and talking for a while. Five whole chapters, to be exact, in the Gospel of John does he talk. And one of the articles I read this week about this scripture compared this teaching of Jesus to the last Harry Potter book, which, in case you don't know, is significantly longer than the rest of the Harry Potter books. And for Harry Potter, that's because J.K. Rowling, the author, both she knew the series was ending, and so she wanted to make sure that she properly covered everything. And also because by that point she was so well known and well respected, and new people would buy Harry Potter, that no editor had the guts to tell her that she needed to make some cuts. Well, in the farewell discourse, a similar thing is happening with Jesus. He knows his time on earth is ending, and so he wants to get in the last details. And by this point, with the disciples, he has established enough respect and leadership that none of the disciples were going to interrupt him and tell him that it was time to stop. And so here we are, we're just reading a little bit of the larger speech tonight. But even in these few verses, it covers a lot. We get a teaching about how those who love Jesus will keep his commandments. We get the promise that Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit as an advocate for us and our faith. We had Jesus talking about his upcoming death and that this isn't something to be feared, but rather a reason for rejoicing. And we get the promise of peace, real peace from Christ, which is different, Jesus tells us, than the kind of peace that the world gives. And because we have the peace of Christ, we have the promise that our hearts don't have to be troubled or afraid. That's what we're going to talk about for a little bit this evening. What is the promise of peace from Christ? And what does that kind of peace look like when it's lived out in our lives and in our relationships? The problem we often have with this promise of peace is that we so rarely experience real peace in our lives and in our world. Too often we just think of peace as the absence of conflict or violence. The world tells us that's really the only kind of peace possible, and that even that peace is fleeting and will only last a minute. But the peace we get from Christ is more than just the absence of conflict or violence. The peace that Christ is offering in this scripture is the gift of complete wholeness and restoration. The gift of peace that Jesus is offering is the gift of not having to fear anything. So what does it look like to be a person of that kind of peace? How do we live into that kind of peace from Christ? Well, we're to be people who turn to Christ and are encouraged in our times of worry and struggle. And when we find encouragement, we turn to working for peace in our lives. We're to be people who seek peace with one another. So how do we do that? How do we find peace with others? Well, first, we must practice peace towards ourselves. If we're going to be peaceful towards other people, we must first work towards having peace in our own hearts. This can be difficult because we have anger or fear or hurt or distress in our lives that causes us worry and causes us not to have peace. And so we act in ways that aren't peaceful to ourselves. We treat ourselves poorly. We believe harmful things about ourselves. We allow ourselves to continue in unhealthy relationships. And look, we cannot magically create peace in our own lives. Peace in our lives comes from one source, the God of peace. Now, the good news is that Jesus has desires to offer us that peace. Jesus promises peace right here in the scripture. Peace not of this world that won't last, but peace from Christ, which can last forever. All we have to do is seek it out. We pray for peace. We have other people pray for peace for us. We seek guidance and help where we need it. And we trust that God is faithful. And as people of peace, we speak words of peace. That means we work, of course, to speak words that don't harm others. We work not to lash out in anger or aggression towards others. This might mean that we take a pause before speaking or even count to 10 or even leave the situation to return later. Our words often cause harm and we can't take them back. So we must be careful in how we use them. And we must remember that there are many ways that we speak words in our lives and in this day and age. So we speak words when we talk to others, but we also speak words in text or on the internet. And as Christians, all those words should be words of peace. We need to ask ourselves, could these words be hurting somebody I'm in a relationship with? Are these words of peace or words of aggression? Is what I'm saying peaceful towards myself and others? The words we use can convey peace, or they can convey violence. And we're called as Christians to be people who convey peace. So as people of peace, we speak words of peace. And as people of peace, we serve and care for others. We find and offer peace in how we serve and treat others. We can be people of peace when we begin to start noticing and seeing other people. We practice peace in our relationships when we treat others with love and care. We practice peace in our relationships when we serve others. We practice peace in our relationships when we treat others, when we teach others the way of peace. Maybe that means teaching them skills for peaceful relationships or teaching them about the God of peace. We're called to be peacemakers because we have been given the gift of peace from Christ. The peace of Christ is not what the world gives. Instead, it's an opportunity for healing and wholeness in our own lives and in our relationships right now. In his final night with his disciples, Jesus gives them a promise that's still true for us. Jesus says, "I've said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And on the very night that Jesus said those words to his disciples, on the very night that he promised them a life of peace, a gift of peace, a promise to not be afraid or anxious or feel fearful, he gathered with them around a table. And he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, It's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, Lord, we ask that you make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. In our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means that we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll ask my server to come forward, and then I'll invite you all to come as you feel led. Go forth now to experience the peace of Christ, not the peace that the world gives, but true peace, peace that allows us not to be anxious or troubled or afraid. And then share that peace with others. Amen.